Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with a dissimulation. But I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. I said unto Peter before them all, If you, being a Jew, liveth after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature are not the sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the flesh shall no flesh be justified. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of peer pressure. Not that I'm into psychology or anything like that. Someone said that psychology was the study of the id by the odd. And I don't want to be odd, and so I'm not going to give you a psychology lesson here today. I just want to talk to you about peer pressure and the Christian. Probably everybody in this room has been peer pressured. We've all, at times, had people put pressure on us and got us to do things that we didn't want to do or that we shouldn't have done. Do you remember how someone peer pressured you into smoking and you didn't want to be left out? And so you smoked with the rest of them. A fellow says, I spent the first few years smoking to prove I was a man, and now I'm trying to stop to prove the same thing. But there's peer pressure to get us to drink. My, that doesn't just stick with kids. There's adults that feel the pressure cooker of drinking or taking drugs or having sex or being made fun of because we're a virgin or because we try to get someone or they try to get us to cuss and use the same language that they use. I love that story about the man at an insurance meeting one time, and a man came in and spoke and he used Jesus' name in vain. And the man sat halfway back in an auditorium of about 500 insurance men. And he got right up in his chair and he hollered out, Sir, leave my Lord's name out of this. And the speaker, who was well known, was embarrassed. And he cut his speech short. And when it was over, more people were shaking hands with the man who rebuked him than the man who had spoke. We like a person who can overcome peer pressure. But you know, you never seem to outgrow peer pressure. It's not just when you're a kid trying to get someone trying to get you to smoke, or someone trying to get you to cuss, or making fun of you because you're chaste, or making fun of you because you won't dress the way they dress and do what they do and wear the kind of things they wear, and they pressure you to get the earring and get this and whatever that you have pressuring kids today. I'd hate to be a kid today. I feel sorry for our kids today. But that never seems to leave, even cars, when you get older. You're still feeling some peer pressure to get a good-looking car or a fast car or a new car because you're a little bit ashamed to drive the old one. Peer pressure just doesn't ever seem to leave us. They had a bunch of kids come into the room, and the teacher wanted them to raise their hand when they were shown a chart like this. And they were supposed to tell them which line was the longest. And they would have kids come in there just a few at a time. And nine of the kids were primed to say that it was line A. 75% of the kids, when those nine kids would raise their hands on number A, 75% of the kids raised their hand when they looked around and saw nine popular kids say it was A, even though they knew it was B. 75%. And it didn't make any difference what age group they were in. It didn't make any difference if it was little kids or high school kids. They'd raise their hand on A, even though that wasn't true. A woman did a study and she asked what was the biggest problem that middle-aged, middle-class women had. And they were given the choice of no romantic love, in-laws, children, sex, finances, loneliness, boredom, or aging, or low self-esteem. And 75 of the middle-class mothers out of 100 said they had low self-esteem. Some people just cannot go against the crowd, cannot swim upstream. And that's because of this thing of peer pressure. It's a lot more, though, than self-esteem. There's a story I want to read you that I like. A fellow by the name of Frederick the Great was a scoffer, and he was a great general, and he was a Christian. And one day, the gathering of the king was making coarse jokes about Jesus, and everybody was laughing and mocking Jesus. But this General von Zeelen that was there in the presence of Frederick the Great stood and arose, and here's what he said to Frederick the Great. "Sir, you know I have not feared death, and I have fought and won 38 battles for you. I am an old man, and I shall soon have to go into the presence of the one greater than I, or greater than you, the mighty God who saved me from my sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you are blaspheming against. I salute you, sir, as an old man who loves his Savior on the edge of eternity." And with a trembling voice, this Frederick said, "General von Zeelen, I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon." And the company silently dispersed. He didn't have peer pressure. John Wesley said, "Give me 100 men who do not fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I'll shake the world. I care not a straw whether he be a clergyman or a layman, and such alone will overthrow the kingdom of Satan and build up the kingdom of God on earth." And John Knox said, "All the world are against you," they told him. Then he said, "I'm against all the world." And the record on the tomb of John Knox says, "Here lies a man who never feared a face of clay." Men did not scare John Knox. In Westminster Abbey, there's an inscription to a fellow named Lord Lawrence. And here's what it says on his tombstone. "He feared man so little because he feared God so much." That's an important thing to see, because the scriptures teach us that, doesn't it? And then I want you to notice William Jennings Bryan. He's the fellow that debated in the Scopes trial, died about a week after, they said, of a broken heart. But he said, "Never be afraid to stand with the minority, which is right. For the minority, which is right, will one day be the majority. Always be afraid to stand with the majority that's wrong. For the majority, which is wrong, will one day be the minority." William Jennings Bryan said that. William Penn, the founder of Pennsylvania, said, "Right is right, even if everyone is against it. And wrong is wrong, even if everyone is for it." In 1953, in the Chicago Daily News, there was a prayer for the president, and here's what it said. "O Lord, give him courage, not of his convictions, but of your commandments." The only way you can stand up to peer pressure is to get over fear. I've lived by a motto my whole life, and of course I follow the scriptures, but there was a motto of Davy Crockett that I've always admired. I've tried to live by it. I think about it. Be sure you're right, and then go ahead. That's a good motto to live by, and it can help you overcome peer pressure. I want to show you this morning, first of all, that Holy Scripture show that surrender to peer pressure cannot be justified. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Fear just kind of puts you in a bottle and you just feel like you're in there and you, man, what are men going to do to me? But the Scripture says in Exodus 23:2, you shall not follow a multitude to do evil. And so people do follow multitude and mob rules, and they follow like a bunch of lemmings heading for the ocean. Hebrews 13:6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That's how you get out of the pressure cooker. You don't fear what men will do or say about you. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 10:28, fear not them which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. And when the apostles were brought before the leaders, Peter said to them, the rest of the apostles, we ought to obey God rather than men. They said, don't preach in his name, Christ's name anymore. We ought to obey God rather than men. Jesus said, whoever will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Whoever will deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And then listen to what he said. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Sometimes it's not fear. It's the desire to keep peace. Well, I'll go along with it. I don't want to cause no problems. I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. I've come to set a man at variance with his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Christians have to bear that in mind. He goes on and says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. One of the biggest peer pressures in the world is the pressure that kids put on parents. All the other kids are doing it. All the other kids are wearing it. All the other kids are doing it. You're an old fogey. No one wants to be called an old fogey. No one wants to be called a radical. No one wants to be called a legalist. No one wants to be called a liberal. And when the kids get on us, and our brothers get on us, and our sisters get on us, and mom and pop says something to us when we're older, we give in. Jeremiah says it like this. He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. So the Bible doesn't give us a lot of leeway, does it? It just shows that we definitely ought to be people that do not fear other people. Secondly, there are some examples in the Bible of peer pressure that are less than attractive. First of all, there's congregational pressure. A congregation can put pressure on a religious leader or someone in the church. Look in Exodus 32. Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. You know the people, that they are set on mischief. They said to me, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we know not what's become of him. And I said unto them, well, whoever has gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me and cast it into the fire. And out came this calf. Oh, my. Aaron, peer pressure. There is congregational peer pressure. Some preachers, some leaders don't have the intestinal fortitude to stand up, and they feel tremendous pressure from people. Everybody likes to be liked. Everybody wants to be popular. And congregational peer pressure really puts you, obviously, in a pot that it's going to really get hot. There's also shunning pressure. In John 9:22, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he'd be put out of the synagogue. You remember the story of the man who was made blind, and they asked his parents, whether this man did it. He says, I don't know, ask him. Can you imagine someone so ungrateful that after seeing this boy who was born blind, made to see, they asked for a testimony of whether Jesus had did it. These people didn't even have enough gratitude in their heart to say, yes, he's born blind. Now he sees. I don't know, ask him. So they had such a fear of being shunned that they wouldn't testify. There's also religious leader pressure. John chapter 12, 42 through 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. You remember that. That's the chief rulers. Put pressure on people. You confess him, you're out of here. I'm going to kick you out of the synagogue. And these people would rather have the praise of men than they would the praise of God. Religious leaders can put a lot of pressure on people, and they don't want to be kicked out and put out of the synagogue, and they would prefer the praise of men rather than the praise of God. And so they give in to peer pressure. There's also fear pressure. Matthew 26, 69 through 74. Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel, just a girl, came and said, You are with Jesus of Galilee. He denied before them all, saying, I know not what you say. And when he had gone out in the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him that were there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I don't know the man. And after a while came unto him that stood by and said to Peter, surely you are one of them. Your speech betrayeth you. You got an accent. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crowed. I mean, you sat around the enemy's fires, worn them in your hands. These weren't guards, just maidens. You're one of them. No, I'm not. You're one of them. I tell you, I swear to God, I'm not. You're one of them. I tell you, I don't know the blankety blank blank. And immediately the cock crew. Now this guy had enough boldness to cut off the ear of the servant out in the garden. But now when he sees Jesus being led away to be put to death, that fear of man came upon him. There's also political pressure. John 19, 12 through 16. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar's. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in the place called the pavement, but in the Hebrew Gabbatha. And it was the preparation for the Passover. And about the sixth hour, he said unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said, shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests said, we have no king but Caesar. And they delivered he them unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. Oh, he called him a just man, but he took his hands and washed his hands of Jesus and the political pressure, not wanting someone to say he was not a friend of Caesar's. Oh, there's a lot of examples in the Bible of peer pressure. But thirdly, good in a good way, there's examples of those who overcame peer pressure and they're worthy of our praise. There's committee pressure. Numbers chapter 13 says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let's go up at once and possess it, for we're able to overcome it. I mean, the 12 spies returned. And Joshua came back, and they had all of this good fruit there, great big grapes and so forth. And 10 of the spies says, can't do it. Man, we look like grasshoppers in these people's sight. We feel like grasshoppers in their sight. We can't take it. Caleb said, come on, we can do it. See, he was on a committee. And 2 voted yes, and 10 voted no. I'm telling you, there's not a whole lot of pressure, a lot more than committee pressure. When you're on a board, you're with a bunch of fellas or you're with a bunch of women, and you can hold up your finger and see which way the wind's blowing, and you're in that pressure cooker of a committee, it takes someone special to say no or yes, depending on which one you should say. Joshua and Caleb, they had the nerve to do that. Then there's sibling pressure. 1 Samuel 17, 28 through 9. Eliab, David's elder brother, heard when he spake and said unto the man, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the naughtiness of your heart, for you are come down that you might see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause here?" You remember David and Goliath and how he rocked him to sleep. I'm telling you, this boy, peer pressure didn't bother. All the soldiers said he couldn't do it. Saul told him he wouldn't be able to do it. But most of all, his brother, his jealous brother, "I know the naughtiness of your heart." Sibling pressure. Man, that is a real pressure. There's enemy pressure. In Daniel chapter 6, you remember that those guys hated Daniel. And it says that Daniel knew the writing was signed, that he shouldn't pray. And he went up into his house, and the windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. And he kneeled upon his knees 3 times and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before time. And then the men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. So you remember then, Daniel didn't give in to peer pressure by his enemies. They only wanted to get him in trouble. They only made the rules so he'd get in trouble. He said, "We're not going to find any trouble with Daniel except in his religion." But instead of secretly going aside and praying, he prayed toward Jerusalem the way the Jews were told to pray, and he had the boldness to be thrown into the lion's den. This man didn't let peer pressure caused him to sin against God. Then there's gratitude pressure. Daniel 3 says, "If it be so, our God whom you serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not," even if he don't, "be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up." And so those 3 Hebrew boys were thrown into the fiery furnace. That's gratitude pressure. You know, Nebi's done a lot for us. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar's done so much for us, and he's protected us, and he's educated us, and he's fed us, and he's been nice to us. Man, gratitude pressure. When people have been so nice to you, and they're so nice themselves, and they're good people, you don't want to hurt their feelings. "Well, I'll go ahead and do what I shouldn't do." Not those 3 boys. There's also despair pressure. "Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him." We always think of Thomas as being the ones that was told to touch his side and touch the hands, and we call him Doubting Thomas. But it doesn't sound like in John 11:36 that he gave in to despair pressure. He said to the other fellows, "Let's go with him and die." Because he knew that's what was going to happen. So we got some bad examples of people who gave in to peer pressure, but we do have those good examples of people who didn't give in to peer pressure. And then let's focus in on that scripture that I read in the beginning, Galatians chapter 2. You remember that we had read that to you, and Peter is eating with the Jews. Or the Gentiles, rather. But then some fellows from James in Jerusalem came down. And James evidently hadn't divorced himself completely from his prejudice against Gentiles. And when they came down, Peter thought, they aren't going to like it if they see me, a Jew, eating with Gentiles. So he got up from the table from eating with Gentiles and went over and began to eat with the Jews. Now this is Peter, who had preached on Pentecost that the promises unto you and to your children and all who are afar off, That's the Gentiles. Even as many as the Lord our God would call. But here he is, an apostle of Jesus Christ, knowing that the gospel was for all men, giving in to peer pressure from some from Jerusalem, so that the Bible says that Paul said, I had to rebuke him to his face. He says, Peter, you're not consistent. What you've done is indefensible. It's cowardly. Your prejudice is showing. It's hypocritical. You're going to be a stumbling block to these people. And so I just really want you to see that it's very important that in the case even of an apostle, there's peer pressure. So the conclusion is this. Kids can really put peer pressure on you. But let me tell you, you never outgrow that. You can be with a bunch of teenagers, not teenagers, teenagers, and even teenagers still feel peer pressure. We just don't ever seem to outgrow it. If I was to say who I had as a model for someone who overcame peer pressure, I would say it was the thief on the cross. Because the whole mob is making fun of Jesus. And he is being executed along with Jesus. But this thief tells the crowd, actually he was telling his partner in crime, this man hath done nothing amiss. He was telling the mob, you're killing an innocent man. And then he said, Lord. He's calling Jesus Lord, the name of God. And then he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He's calling him king. Here's a fellow that overcame peer pressure. His partner in crime may have said, come on, let's take this old man for what he's got. Let's kill him and let's take what he's got. And he may have given in to peer pressure to his old partner in crime. But now he's rebuking that partner in crime. Said, don't you fear God, seeing that we are in the same condemnation and we indeed justly, but this man has done nothing amiss. So he's saying, you're killing an innocent man. You're killing the Lord. You're killing the king. And he begs for mercy and is forgiven. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's the mastery of it. And that's how you overcome peer pressure, is courage. So here's how you pray. Do not pray for easy lives, but pray to be stronger men. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers, but pray for powers equal to your tasks. Being able to overcome peer pressure. When you feel like you're in one of these steam kettles and there's pressure on you, that's when you just pray the prayer, lead us not to temptation. Deliver us from evil. From the receiving of it, yes, but from the doing of it. You need to have the strength of your conviction. To be sure you're right, then go ahead. I hope that what I've said would be helpful to you. That it would be helpful to you when you are tempted to do what's wrong. To learn to say yes or learn to say no, depending on what you should do. Because peer pressure is the fear of man. And you don't want to fear man. You want to fear God, who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Let's pray. Father, help us to be victorious people. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And so help us to exercise faith. Help us to think about Jesus on the cross. That if I do this, if I say this, if I go there, then I am crucifying Christ afresh and putting him to an open shame. Help us to be overcomers. Help us hide the word in our heart so that we will not sin against you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.